This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The Trump administration this week did what Congress or any previous presidential administration couldn't or wouldn't: modernize federal agency processes under the 46-year-old Endangered Species Act. On Monday, August 12th, Interior Secretary David Bernhardt announced three new rules to ensure that the ESA better fulfills the purpose of species recovery while making the law work better for landowners. These improvements matter because ESA restrictions hinder farming and ranching, something that's understandable when it truly is needed to benefit a species. However, it's extremely frustrating when the farmer or rancher knows the restrictions will do little for the critters they're supposed to help, or when species remain on the endangered list long after the land is crawling with them. One of the reforms announced this week eliminates the so-called blanket 4D rule that treated many species classified as threatened at risk of becoming endangered, the same as those classified as endangered. If those categories are treated the same, what's the use of having separate classifications? Going forward, the Fish and Wildlife Service will write species-specific rules concerning how best to help threatened species thrive. Another rule ensures that delisting or reclassifying a species is based on the same factors that determine whether to list a species in the first place. Making all listing decisions on the basis of consistent criteria will help to direct resources to species in need by not expending them on species that already have recovered. The rule also ensures that listing decisions are based on the best available science, consistent with the law. Finally, this rule fixes something that really gets in the landowner's craw: designating critical habitat where species do not exist and possibly never have. This has been a real head-scratcher for many farmers and ranchers, a perfect example of regulations that don't make sense and don't work. Now, areas where threatened and endangered species are present will be up for critical habitat designation before unoccupied areas, and unoccupied areas will have to contain at least one physical or biological feature that's essential to the species' conservation. That just makes sense. As someone whose hairline is endangered, I'm glad I don't have to scratch my head over that one anymore. A third rule will make the consultation process between federal agencies more efficient, and it sets a deadline for some consultations. It might be difficult to get excited about a change to a government process, but let me tell you, this is huge. It means there could be quicker approvals for new pest management tools. For example, if the process for the Environmental Protection Agency to consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service or the National Marine Fisheries Service is more timely. Some will predictably claim that these reforms weaken the ESA and species protection, and they will be wrong. When I see a way to make my farm more efficient, it strengthens my farm. Any business would update a 46-year-old process to make it work better. The Interior Department is bringing ESA rules into the 21st century and making improvements based on lessons learned over decades of working to conserve and recover species. Leaders of several agricultural organizations, including Farm Bureau, were on hand for the announcement. It has been refreshing for those who are most affected by federal actions to be consulted and heard when those actions are considered and announced. This week's announcement of ESA reforms adds to a growing list of regulatory reform achievements that improve our ability to farm and ranch and keep food on America's tables. We've worked for decades to help government leaders understand that ESA implementation and bureaucratic red tape have strayed far beyond common sense or the original intent of the law. We applaud the President and Secretary Bernhardt for these much-needed improvements. AFBF, in partnership with Farm Credit, has opened online applications for the 2020 Farm Bureau Ag Innovation Challenge. In its sixth year, the Farm Bureau Ag Innovation Challenge is a national business competition for U.S. food and agriculture startups. Entrepreneurs will compete for $145,000 in startup funds. To apply for the 2020 Farm Bureau Ag Innovation Challenge, competitors can apply online at fb.org/aginnovationchallenge by midnight Eastern Standard Time on September 30th. 10 semifinalist teams will be announced on November 5th and awarded $10,000 each. All 10 semifinalist teams will travel to AFBF's annual convention in Austin, Texas, in January 2020, with all expenses paid, to compete in a live competition to be the Farm Bureau Entrepreneur of the Year. The final four teams will compete to win Farm Bureau Entrepreneur of the Year award and $15,000 chosen by judges for a total of $30,000, and People's Choice Award and $10,000 chosen by public vote for a total of $25,000. The Agriculture Department's recent 2019 land values report revealed the average value of agricultural cropland, including buildings on farms, at $4,100 per acre in 2019, up $50 per acre or 1.2% from the previous year. The value of cropland in 2019 ties the record high reached in 2015 and represents a 55% increase in cropland values over the last decade. The average value of pasture land was a record high $1,400 per acre in 2019, up $30 per acre or 2.2% from the prior year. The average value of all agricultural land was $3,160 per acre in 2019, up $60 per acre or 1.9% from 2018. A new agreement allowing the U.S. to ship more beef to the European Union provides U.S. ranchers a new trade opportunity, according to AFBF. In a recent interview, Dave Salmonson, AFBF Senior Director of Congressional Relations, says the agreement, which allows for sales of 35,000 tons of U.S.-raised hormone-free beef, has been a long time coming. Salmonson says back in 2009, there was an original agreement between the U.S. and the EU that they would establish a quota, but over the years, the U.S. share of that deteriorated. It was established then as 45,000 tons, but there weren't specific country shares. So there was a renegotiation started about a year and a half ago to try to establish a specific U.S. quota. U.S. farmers and ranchers are optimistic the beef agreement signals a willingness on the part of the EU to further open its market to American agricultural products. AFBF is encouraging farmers and ranchers to urge their lawmakers to support the Broadband Data Improvement Act. The bipartisan measure would enhance the accuracy of broadband coverage maps and better direct federal funds for broadband build-out. AFBF President Zippy Duvall, in a statement supporting the bill, says that broadband is no longer a luxury, it's a necessity. With limited funding and an overabundance of need, it is critical for federal programs to use accurate broadband maps to target and distribute its funding. The U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance has developed a 5-minute film that underscores the important role agriculture plays in combating climate change. The film, titled 30 Harvests, features farmers Jay Hill and Megan Kaiser as they articulate the challenges farmers face while embracing the opportunity to positively impact the environment. Hill is a Farm Bureau member in Texas and New Mexico, operating farms in both states. Kaiser, a member of AFBF's grassroots outreach team, farms in Missouri with her family and is chief operating officer and soil scientist at Perry Ag Lab, Incorporated. USFRA launched the film through social and traditional media outreach on Thursday, August 15th. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.